We can't escape the words about mass shootings, stabbings, and whatever is going on in our world today. Sometimes it seems so hard to even listen to the news because it seems to bring you down. It seems to depress you, but I feel like we need to know. But what does God want for us when we hear such tragic news as we've been hearing? In the face of the most recent, which means there have been many, I think they said 133, the most recent mass shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas, I believe just last weekend. People everywhere are searching for answers to the questions, what can we do to keep this from happening? And what can we do to protect ourselves? Well, the truth is, we can't. We can't keep this from happening. And we can't keep this from being one of us. Or one of our loved ones being affected by this or any other tragedy that is happening to our world. But the difference is, the people of God, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. The Word of God says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't mean we don't experience the same things that the people of the world experience. But how we think and how we act and how we behave is the difference between us and the world. I pray you hear me today. I pray that you actually would hear this. And in the book of Job, it says, taste these words like the mouth tastes meat and see if God is speaking. Like those who were of Berea. Remember, they went home and checked it out. See if the word, see if it actually lines up with the word of God. So we all know that there's some kind of proposed legislation for extensive background checks now for gun sales and ammunition. There's also active shooter training courses in countless schools and churches across America, and maybe even in this one. Now, I'm not telling anyone not to have active shooter training. That's not my subject today. I'm simply saying, see if you can hear God in these words. So it was reported that fear is prevailing. It is reported that fear is the prevailing emotion across the United States because of these last few shootings in Walmart. Now you think, you're minding your own business, taking care of your business, and somebody could shoot you. You're pumping gas and minding your own business, and someone could come up and stab you. It used to be that if you stayed out of trouble, stayed away from people who are bad people, the mean boys, the mean girls, those kinds of people who stir up wrath, those kinds of people who look to stir up chaos. They love to see it unfold. The kind of people that would break in your house and stand back and watch your reaction. They want to see what you're going to do. They love to see. They want to see you react. They want to see your sorrow. They want to see your helplessness and that you can't do anything about this. So they talked about a couple of days following the shooting. And they were saying that in New York, in Times Square, there was the sound of a motorcycle backfiring and a falling sign sent pandemonium into the crowds. People started running, trying to get away of what they perceived was danger. And while doing so, they trampled people, injuring people trying to get away. And they're talking about the fear that people are filled with, because what are we to do? When I heard about the continued trouble and then the mass stabbings after the shootings, then there's the stabbings, and what else will there be? And I was praying and I spoke and I said, Lord, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. God doesn't want you to be afraid. Now I'm talking to the people of God. God did not give us the spirit of fear, because I recognize, and we all have to get it in our minds, God is sovereign. He reigns over everything, every event, every spontaneous event, every planned event, whether it's far off or immediate. He is the Lord. Isaiah 45 and 7. I want you to see it for yourselves. I don't want to assume that everybody has gone through the Bible and you've seen everything, but if you will, the book of Isaiah. Because sometimes we get confused as to who is in charge. And we have to know that the devil and God are not in a competition. Yeah, they're not warriors back and forth. This is not hand-to-hand combat. But Jesus is Lord, and God is the creator of all things. Now, it's up on the screen, if you will. Let's read it together. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Did you hear that? He said, I, the Lord, create all these things. So when you see trouble, God made it. He allowed it. And he said he made it for himself. And so his purpose will be wrought. Yes, we must remember that he reigns. Our God is independent. Not that anybody gave him power, but that power is within him. He made everything, and so then, as creator, he has creative rights. He has the right to do whatever he wants to with whatever he has created. In Ephesians 1 and 11, it says he has determined, if you'll go there, I want you to see that too. Ephesians 1 and verse 11, let's read it together. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Can we make that a little plainer? What's that in the New Living Translation? Furthermore, come on, read with me. Because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Amen. So we have to remember that he is in control. When something happens to us, usually in the negative sense, we're admonished to count it all joy. That's James 1, 2 and 3, I believe. And we have to remember that God's economy is not the same as ours. His ways are not like our ways. Would to God that he had made it so that the people of God had the best of everything. That the people of God never had to worry, never have to consider physical death. I remember as a little girl, excuse me, but I remember as a little girl in fifth grade, and I had just got baptized in third grade, but we were tarrying it. You know, we were in and out of church, if you remember. So back in church in fifth grade, and I just remember thinking, I wish that God would allow us to have the best, never have trouble. I remember in school being bullied because, you know, I wore dresses every day. And so it was easy to pick me out. It was easy to know that I was different. Whether I believed what my parents believed or not, I even told them to leave me alone. My parents, that the word of God says for you to work out your own salvation. Let me work it out for myself. But because they believed in God and they said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I stood out, and children often called me sanctified. And I had to be strong. I had to be by myself often. And that didn't feel good. It didn't feel good in the third grade. It didn't feel good in the fifth grade. It didn't feel good in seventh grade. It didn't feel good in the 11th grade. It didn't feel good at all. But God has a purpose and a plan when he takes us through. He didn't allow us necessarily to blend in like everybody else. He didn't make it like that. And if you believe that the people of God should have the best of everything and never have problems, you've taken on a different doctrine. The word of God does not tell us that. It doesn't tell us that we should never be sick. And that if you are, there's something wrong with your faith. And if you don't have any money, that there's something wrong with your faith. That's not true. Does the word of God bear that out? If so, then why didn't Jesus come here and blow up like the rest of us want to? Why didn't he come up here? Why didn't he come here and go and do miracles in the marketplace? Why didn't he go to the hospitals and lay hands on everybody and clear out the sick? Because God's ways are not like our ways. And his thoughts are not like our thoughts. Amen. But the word of God again tells us in James chapter 1. I want you to see that because it is true. And it is important for us to know what God says about his people. This is the end game. What God wants us to know is how we should act and how we should think in these last days. We're in here together. But when we go through, you're going to be by yourself in your mind. Elder Hashim, you can't help Linda with her thinking. My dad couldn't help my mom with her thinking. I can't help you with your faith. You have to believe God for yourself. You have to seek God for yourself. And I don't want you to think that apart from God that we can do anything, because the word of God does say that without him, we can do nothing. And the fact that no man could come unto him except the Father draw. But the fact is, when God draws, you're responsible. So when he speaks to you and tells you, I want you to get in my word, after this show is over, God, you don't say it out loud. I don't say it out loud. But sometimes there are things that seem to take our attention more than the things of God. So when he speaks to you and tells you, just get on your knees and pray, worship me, bow down before me. You come in the house from work and everything that happened, and God says, just bow down and thank me for all of the goodness that you've received today. But we think about it like, I'm not about to spend this evening in prayer. It's your show that's on tonight, or whatever you plan to do. But those good thoughts come from God. Just in case you didn't know, those good thoughts come from God. So what you do with the word he gives you, you are responsible for. And nobody else can help you with that. Those very thoughts will testify against us, or it will be our testimony when we get to heaven. It will be the thing that says, I obeyed. I heard you, God, and I obeyed. But the truth is, when we hear God, we don't always obey. But just like David, remember all the horrible things he did? He killed a man for his wife. But yet God called him his servant. He called him the man after his own heart. Because when those things came up, David knew to say, God, help me, cleanse me. We can't do everything that we should do. We don't always, but pray, saints. Lord, forgive. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I heard you, but I didn't come. God, forgive me. Help me, Lord. Help me to obey you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That is important. It is important. James 1 and 2, and it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Next verse. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So now when we see all of this trouble, our faith is being tried. Is your faith being tried? Is anybody's faith being tried? Do you sometimes want to say, God, where are you? I know that sometimes when I get alone, I want to say, Lord, why you choose to do it this way? Why? And I wonder, and I say to myself, for real, God, I got to die? I mean physical death. And when you're full of life, you can't perceive the fact that, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, one of these days it is appointed unto us once to die. That's simply how he has made it things to be. But the word of God says that we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. When we're seeing this trouble, we're tempted. We're being tempted to do what? To do something to take care of ourselves against these mass shootings. We're being tempted to fear instead of trust God. We're being tempted instead of believing God that we've got to come up with something that's going to help ourselves. But it's not hard to praise God when things are good. It's not hard to give God the praise and the glory when something happens good to you. But the word of God, as we have read in Isaiah 45 and 7, he said, I, the Lord, create all these things. He wants you to be put in mind that he is the Lord of all things. So did not the scripture tell us that in the last days, perilous times would come? Hard to deal with. times. In the last days, perilous times would come. And in 1 Peter 4 and 12 through verse 9, let's go there. When you see these things happening, I know I wish it was over, but it's not. And the Word of God promises that it'll get worse. Daily Word today, so fitting. Let's read together. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. That was to 19. Oh, that was to 9. Oh. What was that? Okay. Let me see. Is that what scripture is that? First Peter? Okay. How about First Peter 4. Let's see, I might have that down incorrectly, but 4 and 12. Yes. That's it. Okay. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Beloved, think it not strange concerning these fiery trials which are to try us. So when we see it, it hasn't been us, as far as we know, just yet. But there is no reason why, except for the grace of God so far, that it has not been us. But the constant bad news that we hear qualifies as the fiery darts of the enemy. Because when you hear about it, you have to take on the shield of faith. You have to lift up the shield of faith every time you hear this and recognize that with your own hands and your own devices, you're not supposed to come up with something to do. But we are to trust in the living God. And the truth is, sometimes we are worn out so that we feel like we can't believe anymore. And if you haven't gotten there, the truth is you may get there where you just feel like I can't believe because of all the stuff I'm seeing, all the trouble that's going on, everything that's changing. And because of that, it's not unlikely for a prayer like when I see the mountains removed and moved into the sea. Because the things that seemed to be established in our world are being moved. I thought men was always going to be men. Women was always going to be women. I thought it was only going to be two sexes. I thought only married people were going to be heterosexual. But things have changed. And so much has changed that even in our youth you can see the greatness of the change. Because usually it's in the kids they seem to get the most of what's going on in society. Yeah, I'd like to tell you some of the things I've seen, but I'm not sure if it's appropriate. So I did some school bus driving last semester. I'm not going to do it this time. But I can. But just hearing the children and seeing what they do, and you go, oh my God, I never would have done that when I was these kids' age. Yeah, I'm just tell you this one thing. I saw a big boy, big guy. Now, so I don't know what age he was, but he should have been grown. He was about Brother Carlos's height. And there was another little boy that's probably about the size of Brother Paul and Chris's grandson over there. A little boy. And I saw it, the big boy chased the little boy, you know, and back him up into a corner. And I was like, what? So when they got close, I said, boy, leave that girl alone. And I said, oh, my God, that's not a girl. That's not a girl. Because it was like he was trying to kiss him or trying to kiss her, but it's a boy. I said, oh, Lord, I'm done. So that's the kind of thing that is happening in our world. Things are changing. Things are changing. You shouldn't be surprised, but we are. But the scripture tells us to not think of it as strange, but these are fiery darts. So when we see this happening, it's maybe you haven't thought of it as a fiery dart to see the changing of the sexes on television or in your neighborhood or at your school and all that, but it wears on us. It affects us. And yes, it makes you wonder, okay, what do I do? What do I do with that? But this constant bad news, as I said, it qualifies as the fiery darts of the enemy. But again, the scripture tells us to count it all joy. So the people of God have to ask themselves, what would Jesus do? Now, going back to the shootings, the mass shootings, should we be afraid? Should we be running? What should we be doing? So, yeah, we're going to run. How should we think? Or what did God say about this? How did Jesus feel about death, and what did he say about it? In the book of John 12 and 27 is where he was in the garden. He, Jesus, was in the garden. Now, if anybody had options about what they wanted to do with themselves, to do with their lives, Jesus had those options. He could have blown up and been famous. He could have had all of the possessions that this world could offer. But he chose to have nothing. John 12:27 says, now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? Should we pray, Father, save us from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. So he recognized that his mission was to come here to die. Now, did not Jesus tell us that we should die? Now, I'm not talking necessarily about the physical death, because indeed it's appointed unto man once to die. But before Jesus went to the cross, his death took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you've ever seen The Last Temptation of Christ by, what's that man's name? Mel Gibson. Yes. Thank you, Sister Anna. they give a real good picture of what it must have been like for Jesus during those days leading up to his crucifixion. When he's carrying that cross, yeah, when he's going back to the garden, when he was praying, and he was going through, and it just looked like he had so many thoughts in his mind. And I believe they had it so that you could hear the thoughts like, this is not necessary. You don't have to go this far. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this much. And he warring with his flesh. And then as he went down the streets of Calvary, carrying that cross, and the spitting and the kicking and the jeering and the horrible things that people said to him, it was so real. It was so lifelike. So the last temptation for Christ is the same temptation for you and I. And that is this. Am I ready to give up my life? Was he ready to let go of his life? What he could have been. What you want for yourselves. What you want for your children. Prosperity. Health. No trouble. No problems. Safe from all harm. That when you are in your house, nobody should storm your doors. Nobody should try to come in on you. And especially not with guns and try to take your stuff that you have worked for, the things that you've earned. Or even when you leave, nobody should take your stuff. But if we die, if we die the death of Gethsemane in our minds, in our hearts, and we recognize that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We didn't come in here to stay. This world is not our home. We're passing through. We're pilgrims and strangers, and our reward and our place of comfort is in heaven, in the presence of the Lord. So that when you do get that call and you hear about brother or sister, somebody that you know, somebody that you love, and somebody that trusted God has been affected, maybe a part of some tragic mass shooting. If we die to ourselves, then we don't have to run in fear. Then we don't have to run and hide. Then we don't have to put 10 locks on our doors. Because we recognize that what keeps us safe is the Lord God Almighty. Because don't you know, and I know, that there are people who know how to pick your lock. They know how to get into your house. There are some people who know how to steal your car. Some of them don't wait till you get out of it. So what is the answer? We don't hold on to these things. We don't hold on to this house. I don't hold on to this car. And what? We need to let go of our children. Let go of your wife. Let go of your husband. Let go. Jesus had to let go of his life long before he got on the cross. He had to let it go. And the Word of God tells us that he that loses his life shall save it. But you gotta lose it. How do you lose it? How do you deny yourself? not trying to hold on to this world. I'm not trying to hold on to these things. I'm not trying to hold on to what I think I ought to be. And especially not to what I want people to think of me. You got to let it go. Let go of your life. Now, where's that scripture? He that loses his life . Somebody Google for me real quick if you don't mind. So the last temptation of Christ was dealing with death. And I believe it's the last temptation for us. We got to deal with death long before you die. You got to let go of your life. What chapter and verse is this? Matthew 10:39. If you want to look at that. It says, come on, read it with me. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. And the word of God in John 12:24 says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. There can't be any bearing of fruit. You're not going to get any real corn. You're not going to get a good crop if you hold on to the seeds. You have to let them go, put them in the ground, and let them die. And then they'll sprout up and bring much, 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 much more life. It'll multiply. And then we can know that death for us can be swallowed up in victory when we let go of ourselves. We got to change our mind. We got to change the way we think about living and dying. So Jesus had that experience in Gethsemane, and he prayed so hard, and the struggle was so real. And it says that his perspiration, his sweat was like drops of blood. If you've, you know, worked out so hard and you just sweat, just run down, kind of like that. But many of us need to experience Gethsemane for ourselves. You and I need to spend the time before the Lord and tell him, Lord, help me to have the right frame of mind about this life. I give you my life. I give you my husband. I give you my parents and what I want for them, Lord. I let go of their lives. I don't want to hear that they're in trouble. I don't want to hear that they're hurt. And I surely don't want to hear that they've lost their lives. I want the best for them. But I give all of that to you. And I let it go, God, because you are God and I am not. You cannot control anything about your life. Now, you might feel good about being healthy, but you didn't do anything. I sell insurance, and sometimes people tell me, I don't need insurance, I'm healthy. I said, you've been healthy up to now, but you didn't do anything for that. And that's no reason to believe you'll be healthy going forward. You don't get to choose what your life is going to be. We don't get to choose. We don't sign up for cancer. You don't sign up for heart disease. You don't sign up for blood pressure. That's not up to you. It's totally out of our hands. Everything about you is out of your hands. So you might be beautiful. You might have beautiful hair, but you didn't do that. God gave it to you. Everything we have. Now, possibly your body does well with the food that you eat. And some people's just, it just don't work good. It don't work right. It doesn't eliminate right. It don't come out. But some of us are regular and we try to act like, baby, I'm regular. But you didn't do that. And God will not allow anybody else to get the glory for anything that happens in this life. Even our faith. Because I believe that this trouble, this world is going to get so bad that we may seem to lose our faith. And then we have to rely on the fact that he chose us from the beginning. He predestined us for what we are. And the word of God says, I will have mercy on whom I choose to have mercy. So mercy is his to give. Grace is his to give. And all we can do is receive. If you believe in God, if you trust God, thank God. He gave it to you. He is the giver of all good gifts. Jesus agonized in the garden. Remember how the enemy told him, I give you all this you see, if you just worship me. It's a powerful thing to hear people shouting your name. I'm pretty sure when people love you or they pretend to love you or they seem to love you, like those people who are standing up before crowds and there's multitudes shouting their names, it's hard to come down and understand that all of that belongs to God. I didn't do anything. So when we agonize, we should agonize in front of the Lord. Submit all of our lives to him. So that when fear comes, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to own it. We don't have to cower because we know God's got this. He's in control of everything. I wondered about if I was on an airplane. One time while I was on an airplane, and it was a 6-hour flight, and sometimes you think about, you know what you think about. So you wonder, now, if Jesus is Lord, if God is sovereign, and everything belongs to him, and I really believe that, and this plane was going down, and everybody's screaming and crying and whatever, would I sit there and go, whatever you do, God, I'm fine? I don't know. I thought it before I got on the plane. Whatever you do, God, I'm fine. But we do need to get there. Whatever you do, Lord, I'm okay. Yes, Lord. In Revelations 12 and 11, I think this sums up so well for us. The attitude that God wants us to have. Can you go there in Revelations 12? And let's read it together. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. How about in the Message Bible? Is that it? They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. They were not in love with themselves. You know how you can love your family. I love the way we are. And if anything happened, you just couldn't make it. God doesn't want you to be that way. So before that time comes, let's let go. Let go of your life. Let go of what you thought it should be. Let go of who you thought you were. And let God define you. Let Him define what is for keeps and what you should lose. Jesus died a long time before He reached the cross. And we've got to die long before they stretch us out. Let us pray, Thy will be done. Father, we thank You today, Lord,